We call this segment By the Book here at the Nahum Segal Network, and it is brought to you, of course, by our friends at Koren Publishers, korenpub.com, korenpub.com for information. You can check them out on the web and enjoy their amazing and incredible offerings that they have in the world of great books. Koren always provides for us incredible authors and wonderful discussion, and I greatly appreciate it that we get an opportunity to do this each and every week. Rabbi Yuval Chirlo is with us. He is author of In His Image, The Image of God in Man. Rabbi Chirlo is Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Amit Orot Shaul in Israel. He is a graduate of Yeshivat Haaretzion, ordained by the Israeli Chief Rabbinate, retired major in the IDF, and founding member of the not-for-profit rabbinical organization Sohar. He's published many books and articles on topics in halacha, biblical exegesis, modern Jewish philosophy, and contemporary questions, and writes an online Ask the Rabbi column containing over 65,000 responses on various issues. Rabbi Chirlo is a member of various Israeli governmental ethical committees and of the Presidential Press Council of Israel. He is a sought-after speaker in academic circles, public panels, and the media. Rabbi Yuval Chirlo, shalom. Welcome to the Nahum Segal Network.
Hi, shalom from Israel.
Toda rabbah. Thank you so much. In His Image, The Image of God in Man, is this a philosophical work? Is this an academic work? How would you categorize this book?
Actually, it's a rabbinical work. It's a rabbinical work that is trying to describe from the philosophy to the halacha, to the current halacha, what should be our approach to ourselves. Because there are all kinds of ideologies. How should the man stand in front of God, in front of Hashem? And in many places you find that his self-approach should be that he's very, very weak, that he's not able to do things, that he has to only to pray, to wish for the Mashiach, and all those kinds of ideas. And I'm not rejecting them, I'm not writing anything against something, but I think that what we should learn from the Torah is the opposite. And the opposite is, we were created by the image of God, and I'm trying to describe what are the consequences and what are the implications of this idea.
At a time, it says here, when religion is distorted to crush, belittle, and negate man, when personal responsibility is replaced by passive faith and human endeavor is deemed unworthy, you seek to reinstate one of the fundamental truths of Judaism, the creation of man in the image of God. Could you just expound a bit? I know you just addressed it, but I'm trying to get the perspective here. In what way are religions outside of Judaism, in fact, negating man and replacing personal responsibility with passive faith?
I can give you two examples. The first one is, you hear more and more the idea that in order to solve the problems of the world, the only way to do that is to expect or to wait for the Mashiach.
Right.
The problems are too big. We can't make decisions. We can't make changes. We can't turn the heavy boat. And we should understand that we are waiting for the Mashiach.
Right.
Now, that's one of my beliefs, that the Mashiach will come. It's one of the 13 Ikarim. But this is not the main approach that we should face our problems or our the challenges that we have in front of us. That's from one side.
Very good.
From the other hand, is what is our self-approach to our body? Is it an enemy? Is the body and all the enjoyment and all the other things that we do, secular work, poetry, and all those kinds of hobbies or whatever, are they part of the Yetzer Hara? Are they part of the things that we should reject, we should confront, or because we were created in the image of God, also our body is part of our identity, and we should promote it, we should use it, we should do all kinds of things that are connected to the fact that this is part of our image. And those, I think that Judaism in the last, and recently, has gone more and more towards being seeing the body or the ideas or the self-conscience, the morality, the ethical way of thinking as an enemy, because we should be only face towards saying that we can't do anything else except keeping the halacha as it is. And I'm writing something else in this book.
Interesting. Rabbi Yuval Chirlo is with us. In His Image, The Image of God and Man is a brand new Magid book release. Information at KorenPub.com or Magid Books. So if someone then got, and I'm just trying to get a perspective, again, you know, I may be more of a practicalist than a philosopher. When someone abuses themselves, alcoholism, drug abuse, etc., you would say that that is an act against God or something that is wrong for us to do philosophically, meaning on a philosophical level?
I don't want to be very extreme and say that it's something against God. I'm sure that God could do with us and without us. So this is not the term, but it's something to do against ourselves.
Right.
And the fact that we are doing things against ourselves or actively, like you said, using drugs or whatever, but not only actively, also if we are passive, if we are not using all our abilities and all our power that we have in order to promote our self-life, our thoughts, our work, our emotional aspects, and everything that we can do, this is also something that is doing things against ourselves. And doing things against ourselves is not positive, like you can hear from other philosophic or religious philosophers. This is not something good to do. It's something that is actually wrong, because we came here to the world and we were created in the image of God. That means that we should la'asot, we should
right.
do with it everything that we can do.
And are those all physical things? I understand that, you know, a smoker should be encouraged not to smoke. I get all that. But when it comes to the positive acts, is that all a physical thing? In other words, if someone, you know, walks outside and breathes in the air and takes in a sight, is that because it helps their mental state and helps their avodat Hashem? Or are we speaking strictly because it helps their physical body?
Yeah, it's a very good question, because this is only the first floor. There are, in my book, I wrote the second and the third floor. Let's speak about our human conscience, our ethical ideas, and morality whatsoever. And again, there are religious perspectives that claim that there's nothing like it. There's only one thing, and that is the halacha. Everything is included in halacha. The halacha says also what is morality, what is ethically, whatever, and that's the only thing that we should be committed to. And our self-thinking, our thoughts, our conscience feelings, our ethical ideas are considered as something that we should deny. And my book, I claim the opposite. Once we say that we were created in God's image, it means that our ethical thoughts and behavior and whatever, things that are naturally, and in many cases even common to the entire world, because we first were created in God's image and Sheva Mitzvot Binoch and whatever, that means that we should take them very seriously and ask ourselves, how can we promote our relation with Hashem by being more ethically and more behaving in a more moral way from our thoughts? So it's not only the physical point, and as I said, starting with the body, but it's also things that are much deeper in our soul.
So if someone's a thief, when they steal, are they harming their own image of God that's in them? They're acting unethically, obviously. Are they harming one of the aspects of God that is within them?
Yes, definitely. It's actually like a pyramid or like a ladder. They're harming, first of all, their nature. They're harming their soul, their moral ideas. They are harming their ethical way of that they should behave. And the second floor, the third floor, doesn't matter now. It's also against the loving the Torah, the commitment in the Torah. That the Torah says, lo tignov. I mean, it's not lo tignov, because lo tignov of the Torah deals with stealing people, and not properties. But, I mean, it's a ladder. Starting from the bottom, starting with the fact that we were created in God's image, and the upper level is, it's also part of the Torah that we are committed to it.
Rabbi Yuval Chirlo is with us in his image, The Image of God and Man, a Magid Books release, speaking to him on this segment we call By the Book from Koren Publishers. You compare at the beginning of the book the development of man to the wedding ceremony. Why is that?
Because it's also one of the aspects of the image of God. Actually, we have a great question about what are our thoughts and what do we think about being married, about having relationship with, between men and girl and women and whatsoever. And when we see this project of starting with, you know, the bodies and friendship and higher speaking about kedusha and purity, tahara, and whatever, again, this is the way of thinking, building the whole pyramid, the whole ladder, being married or being connected, building family is not only a mitzvah, it's not starting with the fact that there is something on top, it's starting with the fact that this is part of our part of the creation, part of our powers and emotional thoughts and whatever, and then we are climbing up to the specialty of Judaism, of Kedusha, Tahara, Kedushin, and all this. What I'm concerned, what I'm worried, is when people think that the only thing that is important in building the family is the highest level, and are forgetting the all the investments and all the efforts that you have to do in order to build also the first and the second floor before you climb upper.
Wow. You write about the first step that man takes is to conquer, which I think naturally we understand. The second route, man retreats. And again, I think that most people understand you come to a happy medium, so to speak, and live within the power or the control that's been given to you. How does this reflect the image of God? How do those two things reflect what God is and means to us?
One, you said it correctly. I mean, I spoke until now about the positive power, the emotional, the things that, let's say, promotion.
Right.
But there's also a power in withdrawing, if being moderate, understanding our limitations. It's also part of us being able to look on ourselves and say, "This we have actually two different tracks. The one that is going to the active, positive, powerful, and all those issues. The second one is understanding and accepting our limitations, our modesty, our understanding what can't we do, and the fact that actually we are standing in front of God, and He is much more than when we say that we were created in God's image. We are only the image. We are not Chas v'Shalom God. So actually, understanding that we were created in God's image is going to both directions, and not only going to the powerful one, but also understanding when should we withdraw and when we should say, this is too much for us. Now, there are, in my field, I'm a Rosh Yeshiva, but I have also a job in Israel, and I'm a professional in, let's call it, the gene ethics. I mean,
genetic
gene therapy
ethics
and gene experiments on human bodies, the ethical point, and that's something that I work in. And there you can see, one, what can we do, how powerful it is, and second, what can't we do, and understanding our limitations. And dealing with genes without understanding both sides can be very dangerous.
And other religions don't get this, or they preach it, and not just other religions. I think you'd agree that there may be some within Judaism who preach it differently. Most other people don't get this, understand it this way.
This book is not comparing between religion. I mean, you asked me in the beginning if it's an academic book or what kind of it. It's not an academic book trying to compare or to write about parallel issues in different religions.
Right.
Actually, it's trying to expose or to demonstrate my things that I understand from the way the Torah wrote about how should a Jewish believer look at himself, at the world, at his ethical way of thinking, on his body, on his kedusha and tahara. How should be? What should be his approach towards the environment issues and all those issues? That's the book. I mean, I'm not trying to confront or to reject or to fight with anyone else. This is the way I'm writing. So I can say that when I meet all kinds of believers, Jews and not Jews, in many cases you see that the idea that we were created in God's image doesn't appear in a strong way like I'm trying to promote. So therefore I wrote this book in order to add this factor to our life.
Understood. Rabbi Yuval Chirlo is with us, In His Image, The Image of God in Man. Does all this then, everything you've just discussed, in your opinion, increase one's bitachon, increase one's faith in the one above? If we get a better perspective of being part of God's image, can it more easily help us have emunah?
Yes, but it's changing the word, the meaning of bitachon. Because, traditional ways or in other ways of believers, they say that bitachon means we are saying that we can't solve the problem, therefore we believe and we expect then we're delivering the problem to Hashem, right, and he should do. And the more you believe that he'll solve the problem, you find it correctly. Now, from my perspective, midat ha-bitachon is completely different, but in this case, I'm actually following the Chazon Ish. And he wrote that Hashem didn't sign with us any contract that if we will believe or if we'll do X, he'll do Y. There's nothing, there's no promise, and you cannot say that this is the way that we should face or deal or conduct our way in the world. And Midat HaBitachon is something different. Midat HaBitachon says that we believe that everything is possible because Hashem don't have any limitation. We don't know if he will intervene or not, so therefore we should do anything and everything that we can, and then believe that there is an option that will succeed. But we don't have any contract, any promise, and any prophecy that Hashem will do exactly like we want him to do.
So if we're
it's a little bit different about midat ha-bitachon.
So if we're told, for instance, by certain leaders, and I'm using that word for a reason, certain leaders, that if we visit a certain grave or pray a certain prayer a number of times or give a certain amount of charity or anything else, then God would, of course, guarantee some type of salvation, whether it be in the area of matchmaking or the area of livelihood. I would think that you would say that the rule you just set forth, that God has not made any types of deals like that, would be in effect.
I'm so far from this. Sometimes I'm even furious when you hear all kinds of scholars that say that things, if you do this, this will happen, or even more than that, they exactly know why things happen.
Oh, I love that.
And
yeah.
They have their interpretation and they analyze exactly. It's this happened because of this. And I many times claim that when they say such a thing, it's something you can see how they are actually, it's a kind of a manipulation, because always the history proved that they were right. You almost never see someone that is changing his mind because something happened in a different way that he thought it should happen. Always it's a sign and it's symbolized and it's a direct proof that they are right. And for me, this is one of the ways, and it's a kind of ironical and I can say even cynical way of using history and using midat ha-bitachon and using all kinds of ideas in order to try to force people to believe in their way. And I'm very, very far from there. I don't know why things happened, And I don't know what should we do exactly in order to make the deal with Hashem. I know that we should do the best we can and then try and to ask Hashem to do whatever he decides to do.
I saw your chapter on marital life. Is it possible for someone who's not married and has not begun a family to understand or to appreciate the image of God as you describe it, the way a married person with children could?
It's a good question. I think there is something that he loses. Like, you know, in our life, we can actually select only one option out of millions or billions of options that there are in the world. In every junction, in every spot that we stand, we can go to different directions, but we can go only in one direction, and actually we miss all the other things. So everyone that does something actually does not do the different options that he had,
right,
and he misses. Now, all of us are missing. I'm a rabbi, so I missed the opportunity, or I missed... I wanted to be a concert, a conductor.
Right.
I thought that this was my dream as a child. I missed it. But this is something that's coming to the whole world, and this is part of life. I think that someone that is not married is losing a lot of things. He loses building the family. He loses the covenant that he can have with his wife or a wife with her. Everyone is losing something. Maybe he's also gaining something else, freedom or whatever. You know, everything the blanket is narrow.
Right.
And when you pull to this, you lose from this side. But I think that we should do everything that we can in order to build a family.
The book is called In His Image, The Image of God and Man. Rabbi Yuval Chirlo is with us. You mentioned your fascination with and your job, your role, when it comes to medical ethics. I'm just curious, you know, in this country, the debate over stem cell research continues to rage, and I think you'll find people on both sides of the issue, no matter what political party they are in. What is the Jewish perspective, from your perspective, on stem cell research and the like?
It's also part of the book, and I think that most of the rabbis in Israel that deal with these issues believe that the halacha is open. That means you can go very, very far with stem cell research, and there's actually no real limitation. The one rabbi that wrote that the fact that there is a mitzvah of kilayim, that you cannot combine different seeds or whatever, so this is actually saying that there are limitations on science, but most of the rabbis are quoting the last word of the creation, Asher bara Elohim la asof, that
right.
Actually we can do almost everything. Now, in Israel, there's something very interesting that is going to be this year. The law is saying that you can do almost everything, but not cloning. Cloning is something that you cannot do in Israel. But the law, from the beginning, was only for 7 years, because we told ourselves we don't know what will we think about cloning after 7 years, because we are almost sure that our opinion will change. Now, it's expired on May 2016.
Oh, my God.
And the committee that I'm part of it actually recommended to the Knesset to extend this law for another 5 years. So, actually, I believe that the Knesset will accept our idea. And on May 2016, Israel will decide. The Knesset will... this is already the draft. Actually, the draft I got today, and the Knesset will accept this idea, and the law will expand to 2021, and then we'll see, because it's very interesting. We know in advance that one day maybe we'll change our mind, so we want to leave the question open and being discussed every 5 or 7 years.
That I have a feeling what the decision will be 5 years from now as well.
I have the feeling, but I do remember... But I can say also that I have the feeling that one day this law will be, you know, enough is enough. I don't know when.
Fascinating. Rabbi Yuval Chirlo, In His Image, The Image of God and Man. Thank you so much for joining me today. A fascinating conversation, and mazal tov on the book.
Thank you, and thank you for the opportunity.
Rabbi Yuval Chirlo, he is Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Amit Orot Shaul in Israel. He's graduate of Yeshivat Haaretzion, ordained by the Israeli Chief Rabbinate. He retired major in the IDF and founding member of the not-for-profit rabbinical organization Sohar. He's published many books and articles and topics in halakha, biblical exegesis, modern Jewish philosophy, and contemporary questions. Writes an online Ask the Rabbi column containing over 65,000 responses on various issues. He's a member of various Israeli governmental ethical committees, as you just heard of the last segment, and of the Presidential Press Council of Israel. He's sought-after speaker in academic circles, public panels, and the media. Magid Books offers new approaches to Jewish texts and themes in the world's leading rabbi scholars and philosophers. Magid's an imprint of Koren Publishers in Jerusalem. It's a Magid book release by Yuval Chirlo, In His Image, The Image of God and Man, brand new for March of 2016. And it is very, very interesting and fascinating.